First of all, thank you very much again for taking the time to speak with me.
Okay.
I know it's been an interesting few months, right?
Oh, it has been. Yeah.
In that Chinese curse sort of way, right?
Yeah.
May you live in interesting times.
Right. These have been interesting times. But, you know, it is what it is. We're not certainly disappointed, but not in any way. Mad, angry, or anything like that, but disappointed, yeah, no question. I'd love to have been mayor for another 4 years, but that wasn't in the cards, so
yeah.
We got to try to move on and do something else.
Okay. Well, why don't we do a quick review and then move forward?
Okay.
All right. So, you have been mayor all told for 12 years.
Yes.
With a little break there in between.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you see as personally, your greatest accomplishment during that time?
Well, you know, I get asked these greatest accomplishments or most outstanding accomplishment questions all the time.
Sure.
But I think that the convention center is something that, that I'm very proud of because mm-hmm. because of the way that it came about.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I envisioned for many years. It took a number of years to make it happen. When I entered into office in 97, I discovered that the state of Mississippi had allocated $17.5 million for a Mississippi Telecommunications Conference and Training Center to be constructed in Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And people were talking about putting it on Lakeland Drive, on Briarwood,
mm-hmm.
out on County Line Road, but my vision was to put it downtown
mm-hmm.
because I saw it as the start of a convention center complex that we have here now. So I was, by virtue of being mayor, I was placed on the telecommunications commission,
right?
And so through two couple of governors. We were able to get the telecom center sited downtown
mm-hmm.
And constructed downtown. And so the next move was for the convention center to get legislation passed for the convention center to get the referendum passed. And so all of that came together over, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm proud of that accomplishment. And I think that it really is going to help and has helped propel our city into this destination city mode. And so it's going to be even a better asset, stronger asset for the city than what it is now.
So along those lines, making Jackson a destination city, what's left? What are you leaving as undone?
Well, we need a convention center hotel, and we may be on the verge of making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't get.
Yeah, I know we're going to break that, right?
Yeah. It won't get constructed in the next week or so, but maybe a deal will get consummated. But that's. That's sort of left hanging and undone from it. The entertainment district.
Ferris Street.
Ferris Street is another thing that needs to happen to make that destination city label come into fruition.
Right.
And I think that may be close to happening. These activities take some time, and of course, with the convention center hotel, I mean, I thought we would have that up by now, but
that property is back in the hands of the city now, right?
Back in the hands of the city. That's why I'm encouraged that we're going to be able to do something.
Okay. Terrific. From are do you looking back now over the 12 years that you served, are there lost opportunities? Do you see some opportunities that you think that you might have gotten hold of? And
well, you know, being in this position for 12 years, I guess you've learned, I've learned, that you take advantage of all the opportunities that that you're able to.
Right.
Because so when you say lost opportunities, there are situations, there are projects, there are things that you're not able to do. You don't have the resources to do them. You don't have
the time
to do
them. Give me an example of that.
A baseball stadium in downtown Jackson.
Right.
Had to compete with the convention center.
Yep.
So we couldn't come up with the $65 million for the convention center and another $25 for a baseball stadium. So, you know, you have to make a choice, and I did. And I think I made the right choice. If we had had the resources, if we could do all of it, and another example is an arena downtown. I mean, $117 million arena. Well, you know, there's an opportunity there to develop that, but do we have the resources to do it? So,
right.
I don't think so. Now the Dome Stadium may be the answer to all of this, you know. Maybe
at JSU. Right?
Yeah. So it becomes a matter sometimes of resources. I'm not sure that opportunity is lost, but if you had more resources, you certainly could create more opportunities, I think, particularly for development in the city.
Well, talk a little bit about, going forward into Mr. Lumumba's administration. How do you see that resources kind of play into what you believe his challenges are going to be moving forward?
Well, I think clearly, the city's going to be facing challenges relative to the infrastructure, water and sewer. I mean, people are concerned about streets, but water and sewer lines are under the streets, and we gotta fix those. And so that's
we have the EPA consent decree, right?
The consent decree, but we also have an update on our water system that indicates that, you know, that hundreds of millions of dollars are going to be required to fix our water system because we still need to deal with that. So
it's not sexy stuff, is it?
No, it's not, and it's stuff that really doesn't get a lot of play. I mean, when you spend as we have, I guess, $20-30 million putting a 54-inch water line from O.B. Curtis down to Fuel. I mean, you know, that's not who knows about it. Who really cares about it until we have major water line breaks and the water is off.
Right.
And so it's not stuff that, it's not like fixing a street or a pothole or fixing a drainage problem in a community. And so that's going to be challenging, and finding the resources to do it is going to be challenging. And what's missing in the whole narrative here in Jackson is the extent that poverty impacts our ability to.
Yeah, great point.
I mean, our percentage of poverty in the city of Jackson is higher than the state of Mississippi.
Do you have a specific number that you can put on that?
It's about 30%.
Okay. Of course, that plays into other issues as well, right?
Housing. plays into education, plays into a lot of stuff. I mean, when it comes to children, the poverty rate is even higher.
Yeah.
It's like 34-35%.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that people don't talk about that enough, and that's why I really came up with this Jobs to Jacksonians program to try to focus on putting people to work, addressing the issue of poverty in a way that, you know, that would be sustaining. I mean, we can talk about social programs and all that, but to put people to work is how you address poverty. And I said all that to say that in dealing with the resources for infrastructure improvement and development, you got to also be mindful of the fact that a third of your population is poor. And so that's a tough hill to climb.
So in other words, it's not like you can just raise taxes and expect everybody to go along with it or able to pay it.
Yeah, right, be able to pay it.
So you kind of have a limit as to how much money the city can actually raise from its citizens given the poverty.
Realistically, I mean,
and how
much you can burden the ratepayers or taxpayers in the city of Jackson. At the same time, we are burdened by tax-exempt property here in the city to the extent that no one else is, certainly in the metro area and I would dare say in the state of Mississippi. So
that includes government churches and so forth.
Government churches, yeah. Nonprofits, yeah. So, and in a suburban community where, let's say, that's better off than say the inner city or the central city, 5% of the property is tax exempt.
That's typical 5%.
I'm just using that as an example. I mean, that's the post office and churches and city hall.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
But in Jackson, that number is around 30%. So you can see the disparity. So you got you got a community whose taxpayers can afford taxes, but only 5% of their collecting taxes on 95% of their property.
Yeah.
Then you got a community where you have a high poverty rate, but also a high rate of taxes and property, which puts more burden on those poor people.
Right.
I mean, you know, so it's really crazy, and I've heard people say, well, you know, Jackson needs to take care of its own, you know, but we're the state capital, and in half of the state capitals in this country, state government actually writes a check to the local government to offset some of these disparities.
So it'd be taxes or payment in lieu of taxes,
in other words. That's what it's typically called. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's not happening in Jackson.
Ooh.
Any attempts to make that happen in Jackson?
Yeah.
And during
we've talked about it. The legislature hasn't gone anywhere. We were receiving $200,000 as a fire fee from the University of Mississippi Medical Center on an annual basis, but they stopped that last year. It started when I was in office before. When I left, it stopped. Then when I came back, we got it for 2 or 3 years, and then it stopped again. But that's sort of that's a handshake deal. That's not any legislation or any requirement.
Right. Even though other colleges like Southern pays the city of Hattiesburg for the same services.
Yep. That's interesting. Okay.
Southern, I mean, Hattiesburg, Starkville, and Oxford all receive funds from the schools, state schools that are within their borders. And we have two, Jackson State and UMMC.
Well, along with Belhaven and Millsaps.
Yeah, but state
school. State schools.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, the state actually has writes a check to these.
Yeah.
These local gotcha. Units of government.
So, well, it seems almost an intractable problem. I mean, I know that the whole issue of tax base has been an issue for decades.
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, it's not uncommon to see, you know, the central city, the tax base of the central city being impacted by increases of opportunities in suburban areas. I mean, that happens all over. And I mean, people don't want to hear it, but it's driven by transportation. It's driven by, it may seem like a great idea to six-lane Lakeland Drive to get people to and from Rankin County, but then you got Dogwood Festival popping up and other developments, residential developments popping up along Highway 25, all driven by transportation. So, we have a tax base that's dwindling.
Yeah.
But the overall metropolitan area is increasing maybe 2 or 3% or something like that. It's not increasing a lot because we're just moving people around and moving businesses around in the metropolitan area. What we have to do is in Jackson, I think, is to figure out our niche in the metropolitan region. The Metro Center Mall, you know, 1 million square feet is these type malls are not surviving across the country. They're being repurposed, and we're going to have to repurpose that one and figure out our niche. And my suggestion is this destination city niche that we can build upon that with our convention center. It's the Nucleus and the Convention Center Hotel and the Entertainment District and other things that would attract people into the city. We have we're the crossroads of the South in terms of ground transportation, rail transportation, have an international airport. So we have all the ingredients to really sort of carve that out as a niche. There's always going to be a certain degree of competition in the metro area for various activities, but I think we're way ahead of suburban areas when it comes to those kind of amenities that would attract tourists and convention goers and meeting.
Right, because another shopping center isn't going to do it, is it?
Shopping centers are going to come and go, so to speak, but I think that as we, because of our location, because we're the state capital, and as people come in to meet, we need to take advantage of that. I'm not sure that we're going to ever have an enclosed mall that's 1 million square feet again. I mean, those things are not efficient. Lifestyle centers where downtown is trying to, where suburban areas are trying to replicate downtowns where you drive up in front of the store and park and go in. That's the rage right now.
Is that kind of your vision for? For example, two-wing of Capitol Street make that into a kind of a mecca there for retail again that it used to be back in the day.
Yes, that's the whole idea. I mean, to try to, because back in the 80s or when 90s, I think the late 80s, when all of this one-wing and urban renewal took place, we tore down a lot of the buildings in downtown. We ran out the retail. Establishment didn't one way in it, Capitol Street didn't help either. So yeah, hopefully getting the two way in Capitol Street will bring some retail back. We need rooftops. Mm-hmm. Not rooftops, but I guess in our case, people in the downtown area, and we're mm-hmm. getting that. It's slowly, we're getting more and more of a mm-hmm. of a need. There are at least two projects right now that they're talking about conversion of office space into major office space into a residential space. So,
what projects are those? Can you say?
I can't.
Always have to ask.
Lamar Life.
Okay.
Is a,
excellent.
Is being looked at very closely, and so is the old deposit guarantee building on the corner of Lamar and Capitol.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving out of the downtown area. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, the big projects are going to come to the downtown area. Mm. What about the little projects? What about the neighborhoods? What do you see as the challenges there? And what do you think? Not to give him any direct advice, but you know, you've got Mr. Lumumba coming in as a new administrator for the city. So if you could give him advice, mm-hmm. what would you? How would you address the problems in the neighborhoods and you know, going out to Highway 80
I think in the case of Highway 80, we have a strategy in place. We have a plan mm-hmm. that was developed in concert with businesses and people in the surrounding area there on Highway 80 that needs to be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
So the implementation of that plan and then the implementation is much easier said than done, but there's a strategy there that can be implemented.
Okay.
In terms of neighborhoods, I think that you know we have a comprehensive plan, the fabric plan mm-hmm. That was done when I was in office previously, that has given rise to various zoning models
okay.
that can be used.
Can you give me a for instance?
Mixed use.
Okay.
Town. Got the exact term, but the district at Eastover is a great example of new zoning, mixed use type zoning arrangement where you're going to have restaurants and retail and office and a hotel and residential, mm-hmm. all there. Fondren is an example of that. The Jackson State, One University Place, is an example of mixed use. And so there are opportunities within our land use in our zoning structure mm-hmm. to encourage neighborhood development and so the mechanism is there. We've also, when I was in office before, started this small business development grant program.
Right.
That
includes the storefront grants and
storefront
so forth.
Mm-hmm. And equipment on the inside and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great program for mom and pop businesses, small businesses, and a number of them have taken advantage of it.
Right.
Close to 100, probably a little less than 100, and they've received money sort of pump primers, and it's the only program of its kind in the state of Mississippi, and so it can be used to facilitate development in neighborhoods.
Okay.
We also have these COPS meetings, and it's an opportunity for neighborhood groups to not only communicate with the police department, but also there are other departments that are there that they can...
Other city departments?
Yes.
Okay.
That they can talk to about various issues that may be affecting their neighborhood, whether it's abandoned houses or drainage or whatever it mm-hmm. is, or maybe even trying to figure out how to access some resources for economic development.
Are those well attended?
It varies from precinct to precinct.
Okay.
Ward 1, precinct 1, has the most consistent and highest attendance, and it's probably, it's not unusual to have 40 or 50 people there, and this once a month. And some precincts are much lower than that, 10, 5 or 10. But it just depends on the facilitator, depends on the precinct. Some are much better than others.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about the campaign a little bit, if you don't mind. So one of the things that we heard that you were a big advocate of was not going negative in your campaign. What do you think the effect of that was on the outcome?
Don't know. I just know that, you know, the principles, Catholic Charities, 30 members. My principles were, I wanted to stick by my principles, and so I feel that the outcome, had I violated those principles, would have been, you know, more personal to me than the outcome of the election. So, I mean, I don't know what the impact. It's always, you know, I've been in enough of these elections to know that you can second guess the outcome over and over again, and it, you know, it doesn't unring the bell because you can't unring the bell. And so, I just.
Anything that you see that you might have done differently?
Yeah, I could have won.
Well, yeah, there's that. Wow, okay. You've had some, I think, historic issues with talking with the business community in it and getting some pushback from the business community. Speaking specifically about the Crime Commission early on, and the Metro Crime Commission, and also there was it seems like you, like the Downtown Jackson Partners may have not been, you know, y'all may have not been on the same parallel path going forward. How do you see that moving into Mr. Lumumba's administration? How do you think, you know, what can you tell him that would kind of smooth that path a little bit?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm the one to those couple of organizations that you mentioned. I'm sure not sure that I'm the one that could give anyone advice on smoothing the path.
Yeah,
I think that the position of mayor of the city of Jackson is a very powerful position, and I think that there are always going to be forces who are going to want to control that power or to weaken the position. And you, as mayor, you just have to figure out how to deal with those forces. And and I think that each mayor is going to have to deal with it in their own way. You know, I think that there's always going to be this tension between the mayor's office and certain segments of the community if they feel that they don't have the influence that they traditionally have had, or they feel that they should have.
I think it's probably going to be, and I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but certainly that Mr. Lumumba did not get very much support at all from the business community in Jackson. So do you think it might be harder for him than it was for you, even? Or, I mean, what's your sense?
I don't know. I mean, that's you know, my crystal ball isn't that clear, but... what I do know is that, you know, the city of Jackson is the capital of Mississippi, and this whole notion of, you know, people are going to just pick up and leave is not realistic.
Right.
I mean, we have a lot of things going for us here in the city of Jackson, a lot of good things, a lot of assets for the business community, and I'm sure that they've taken note of that. They know that, and so I think that there's going to be a way for all of the interests here in the city of Jackson to work together. It's got now finding it is it may be a challenge, but I'm sure that there's a way for that to happen.
Yeah, certainly the whole issue of race has come up strongly.
Well, yeah. I guess come up may be a good way of looking at it, because I'm not sure that it was ever buried that deeply.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now it's you know, and I'm speaking from the perspective of being the first African American mayor of Jackson.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, but to say that, you know, that it's come up just because of this incident
I posed that very badly as a question, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. It's sort of like that spotlight wherever it was before. If it was diffuse, it got very pinpointed.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as racial differences in the city.
But it may create an opportunity for us to come to grips with that issue.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you start asking yourself questions like, well, you know, why is it that there's never a Republican primary?
Right.
And what kind of what does that mean? Why is it that the representative or the councilman from Ward 1 never has a challenger in the Republican primary? How does that happen? Does that mean that? And how do you get 95% of a segment of the city voting for one candidate, and that's okay, but when 80% of another segment of the city vote for one candidate, it's racial.
Right.
So, right. You know, this is going to require some deep discussion and soul searching on the part of the city of Jackson, and perhaps look at some of the things that were not so transparent previously when it comes to race relations here that maybe now are going to have to be dealt with.
And I think that would be a good thing personally.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too. I think it would be a good thing. Yeah.
Have you given any thought to your legacy?
Well,
let me backtrack a second.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell me what you've got going on next? What are your plans now? And has the city of Jackson seen the last of Harvey Johnson in public?
Well, to answer the last question first, I don't know. I mean, never say never. So I'm not sure that what I'll be doing. I'm gonna still do as much as I can for the city of Jackson and for the citizens of the city. Now, in what capacity, I don't know what that would be. And in terms of my future plans, I don't really have any at this point. I mean, I might I've toyed with the idea of writing a book or some sort of writing to just keep the mind going.
Any thought about going back to JSU at this point?
No. I'm not going back to JSU. Other than that, I'm going to do a little traveling. I'll be see my horses more than I've seen them. But I haven't taken any time off in 40 years. And, I mean, the last time I had 30 days off consecutively was in 1972 when I was getting out of service.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you're due.
You know, but it's part of my makeup is not to lay around and take time off. So
right.
I don't think it'll.
I know. I take vacations and go to seminars.
Yeah. Yeah. But it won't be. Maybe I'll make 30 days. I don't know. Before I start going crazy.
I have a feeling there might be some people who invite you to do some interesting things in the future.
Yeah,
I'd love to see it. Just look at my questions here. And, I think, are you and Chokwe Lumumba at the mayor elect, are you working on a transition plan together? I know he just announced his team. Is there ongoing discussions between, the city and the incoming administration?
I'm not sure that they're ongoing. I mean, there is some discussion going on. Yes, I've talked with the Mayor-elect Lumumba, and in terms of the document, what we're planning to do, and what I announced, I guess, several weeks ago, is to come up with a transition document that's going to outline all of the things that are going on now and what's happening in the future, their status, maybe a time frame on when they're going to take place, as in one piece, and that'll be a published document. Actually, we're going to make it public. We're going to give it to the council, to the media.
Okay. So when do you expect that to be completed?
I'm hoping that it's going to be complete by the city council meeting next week.
Okay.
So that's my. And we'll also do a finance document, a budget that that can be looked at, and it'll be balanced with certain assumptions and all that. But the obviously, I think the incoming administration is going to want to, look at it and put their own signature, if you will, on it.
Sure.
But I just think it's important for me not to leave the city in a lurch or in with some sort of, unfinished business like the budget, and because it's. The budget is, these are tough times, and they're going to have to be some tough decisions made. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I could, I guess, just say, okay, well, it's yours, you go. But I want to try to give some guidance. I mean, and whether it's followed or not, that's going to be up to the administration. But
sure.
But I have done this several times about 12 or 13. And so.
Just a few.
Yeah, and so this time is. I want to make sure that we're thinking tough, making. In terms of the departments. I mean,
right.
Because they may make requests, but they may not be able. We may not be able to do that. I know that the administration coming in may want to have. Do certain things,
mm-hmm.
and of course that's up to him and his administration to do that. But I want to make sure that they understand the parameters that are out there right now, and from our perspective, and it's pretty tough. So there'll be two documents at least two documents. Typically, the transition team goes to work. More intently after the inauguration.
Okay. Anything that you'd like to say that I didn't ask you about that you want people to know?
Well, I mean, just that my time in office, I would like to hope demonstrates a very strong work ethic that that each and every day I've worked for the citizens of the city of Jackson. Sometimes the work was discernible, sometimes not, most times probably not, because things don't happen every day, but you have to work every day to make things happen eventually, and that's what we did, and I think that as this city has been transformed over the last 16 years since I've taken office, and most of the projects that have been transformative were started by me or finished by me. And so in terms of a legacy, I hope that people can see the difference that that has been made over the last 16 years in our city, not just downtown, but all over our city. And it's there were, you know, things that we didn't have a convention center, and the King Edward was falling down, and Standard Life was on its last leg, and you know, we didn't have the parkway.
Right.
So there a lot of things have happened since then. We didn't have to work out at Tougaloo College, and so there have been some things to happen that I like to think I had a hand in over the last few years.
I think we can agree on that.
Yeah.
I think so. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're
it's been
welcome.
A pleasure.
All right. A pleasure.